Welcome back to the D3 Golf Guys podcast. All right, we are a little late in delivering this podcast because, once again, we are struggling with our friends at Clipped and trying to get all the participants at some of these tournaments to be able to show up in the schedule. But we have got a great show tonight, and it is going to be another great week in Division III golf. We had a great week last week. We're going to go through all those results, and then we're going to look forward to next week where we have some results starting on Sunday and moving into Monday. All right, but before we get to that, we got to talk about the new TSR drivers and fairway medals from Titleist. Gang, they're some of the best that have ever been made. They're dominating the PGA Tour, and if you haven't hit the TSR driver and fairway woods today, you need to go out there, find your Titleist rep, and make that happen. Again, our friends at Titleist continue to deliver excellent quality. So hit up your Titleist guys today. All right, let's get into some results. So our good friends in North Carolina at Pfeiffer College, they put on a little Pfeiffer Invitational out on the beach, Ocean Isle Beach in North Carolina. We'll start with the men's tournament. They had men and women there. Belmont Abbey's B team wins the tournament. They go 303-300. Outside of that, there's lots of B's and C's teams here. Our good friends from Adrian College came down from Michigan, get a little spring break, warm weather. Played a little better in the second day. That was good. But Covenant College finishes second, Virginia Wesleyan third, Southern Virginia fourth, Adrian College fifth, William Peace University sixth, Capital comes down from Ohio for seventh, Belmont Abbey's C team finished 8th, Ferrum College 9th, Pfeiffer 10th, Marietta 11th, Covenant's B team 12th, Marymount University 13th, Capital's B team 14th, Virginia B team 15th, and Southern Virginia 16th B team, and Adrian College's B team 17th. Now, always good to see people getting out of the North and getting some playing time in. I found it very interesting as I was struggling with the schedule on Clipped. Earlier this week, I was trying to look forward to things on the schedule. They didn't have all the teams in there. And then my good friends in Division II have showed us that there's duplications of teams in the system still. So at some point, when is the data going to get cleaned up in this spot? I just don't understand what we're trying to get done here. But on the women's side for the spring invite at Pfeiffer, they were also in Ocean Isle Beach. Coastal Georgia comes in and shoots 314, 310 to win, followed by Southern Virginia, then two tied for third, Tennessee Wesleyan, Marymount, Virginia. Adrian College finished fifth, Averett sixth, Virginia Wesleyan seventh, Pfeiffer eighth, Capital ninth, Adrian's B team for ladies on the 10th, Sweetbriar College 11, sounds like a youth novel, Meredith College 12th, and Marietta College 13th. So again, good for the Northern teams to come down, have a little place to go play. You know, that was a nice tournament. Like I said, some of our friends from North got to come down and get some rounds in. But the a lot of last week was really focused in this great city of Savannah, Georgia, where we had two men's tournaments that were big. The women will be playing this week, but two big tournaments. So one was at Savannah Country Club called the Port City Classic. And unfortunately, just to put this where, this is sort of the NIT of tournaments from last week. The big tournament was the Savannah Invitational, where we had major, major fireworks. All right. On the Port City Classic, Maryville, Tennessee, comes in and wins. They go 287, 288, 294. Which is really good scoring, right? Roanoke College finishes second. Wabash College also tied for second. Carnegie Mellon's B team was over there. They finished fourth. Barry's C team finished fifth. Transy sixth. Center seventh, tied with Barry College's B team. Shenandoah 9, Belhaven 10, Wittenberg's B team 11th, Skidmore 12th, Hampton City College B team 13th, Denison 14th, St. John's Fisher 15th, North Carolina 16th, and Birmingham Southern 17th. On an individual basis, Caden Gambini from Maryville College wins the tournament by three strokes, 69-70-73, over TJ Whalen from Rono College, 69-78-68. Solo third was Brandon Weiss from Wabash College. And then we had three tied for fourth, Evan Forrest from Skidmore, Tyler Williamson from Maryville, Reese Lott from Hampton Sydney College. And then we had four tied at seven. They were Thomas Buchert from Transy, Miles Patterson from Wabash, Jack Stafford from Barrie, and Ryan Daniger from Carnegie Mellon's B team. A good tournament. Again, this was kind of the NIT. The scores weren't great. I mean, the winning score was 17 over par. Second, tied for second, was 32 over. But it was good to see everybody get down, you know, see Dennison and a bunch of other people, Skidmore, get down south for spring break, get the chance to play. So that's good. And that's, again, this is a good warm-up for a lot of these schools who are really going to be focused on trying to win their conference. Not any of these schools are really in the top rankings of nationals, so it's going to be all about winning that conference tournament for them. All right, let's get to the big event. We had a major this past week in Division III men's golf, and it was at the Savannah Invitational, hosted at the club at Savannah Harbor. This was a great, great tournament. All right, all the heavy hitters are here. Interestingly, we've got Washington and Lee sprinting out front with Methodist close on their heels. And Washington and Lee hung in there for a long time, way up there with everybody else. They faded ever so slightly at the very end, but an absolutely great performance by the Washington and Lee Generals. And I believe they put something out there that we shared about them, that being a record for them. Really good, interesting tournament because everybody kind of started off slow. But the interesting part about this tournament that is all the teams play in their fivesome. So all the Washington Lees guys, all five of those guys play in the same group. So you're playing with your team. And it's really interesting to watch the swings that happens when that happens, because when you can feel even more pressure because you can watch your teammate make a double. And it turns the screw on the pressure. So what you see in this tournament, if you go through the actual individual scores, a couple different things. One, because the entire team is on a certain hole, you'll have the stretches of where there's no par fives and the team loses ground. And then the team that has the two par fives in three holes and they make some birdies, they can move way up. So you see a lot more streakability in these kind of tournaments. But also you'll see, you know, if your team kind of gets on a bad trend or on a good trend, it can really build and you can really kind of snowball either good or bad because you can see all your teammates exactly what they're doing. You know, sometimes the guys can see what's going on their phone or the coaches will tell them, but to be able to sit there and watch as you know, your teammate's teeing off and he sprays one right into the water and now you got to tee up, that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot more pressure than anything else. Normally when you're playing with other teams that hit in the water, you feel good about your opportunities. Once again, Methodist and Emory separate. Really great tournament. Absolutely phenomenal scoring. So Methodist wins the tournament at 23 under. That's right, 23 under. They were 14 under the last day, roaring back into place. So Methodist goes 279, 288, 274. 274, that's the, yeah. We're starting to get into the 270s on a regular basis here, and it's pretty amazing how many birdies we're making. Emory finishes solo second at 20 under, three shots back. They only shot 279 the last day, so they got beat by five shots, which is why they had two shots on Methodist going into the final round and ended up losing by three. 284, 281, 279 for Emory. Washington and Lee, great tournament for them. 278, 289, 280. The Washington Lee guys had to be just kicking themselves for the 289. And that sounds crazy to talk about a one over par round, but you know, everybody else was kind of charging up the leaderboard at that point in time. Finishing solo fourth, the Suwannee Tigers. Six under total, 290, 287, 281. Got better every day. You know, I think that's a big win for Suwannee. They get everybody else in the field except for Washington, Lee, Emory, and Methodist. And they did get they did beat Oglethorpe. So they did kind of shoot one across the bow, across Oglethorpe to say, we're not going anywhere. We're ready for conference. Again, I think both of those are probably in nationals, but it's one of those inter-conference matchups that we have to keep our eye on. And then look what happened here. Who finished solo fifth? Why, that's Huntington College. Now, we talked a lot about Huntington all fall, and you heard us really talk about Huntington will figure it out. They're going to figure out the lineup. Well, dadgummit, they were right there in the mix with this tournament. They come out first day 288, 278 day two, best round by far. Unfortunately, they come 298 plus 10 and drop three spots to fifth because they were in second position. But they may have figured out the lineup at Huntington because they just finished fifth in a major, major tournament and beat a lot of other people. So Huntington could finally be putting things together here to where they are going to be somebody to really watch and keep an eye on. Finishing sixth is Oglethorpe. Again, Oglethorpe started off great, 280, 295 the second round, really hurt Oglethorpe, 291 the last round. You know, not great. But again, finishing sixth out of 19 in this tournament, still very good. You're beating a lot of people. That's where my point is. Suwannee and Oglethorpe are beating enough everybody else's that they're both going to go to nationals, but it's going to be, do you want to win the conference and put your flag in the ground and say, no, we own it. Carnegie Mellon finishes seventh. I think a good performance out of Carnegie. You know, they're in Pittsburgh, getting out of the North, coming down, getting the chance to play. That's good. 289, 285, 294. They were in the mix to try to get in that top five, just didn't get it done. Lynchburg tied for eighth with Kenyon College. Really nice performance out of Kenyon. Lynchburg, you know, was doing fine, 287, 286, under par. The 299 the last day, 11 over, really hurt. They were three under coming into the last round, and they dropped three spots. They were at that fifth position coming into that last round. You know, I think that's fine. You still have a young team there. And again, finishing eighth at this tournament's not a bad thing. It's just, okay, Lynchburg had a great, great, great fall. All right, here they go. Let's see how they kind of handle some of the success and the notoriety. All right, and let's talk a little bit about Kenyon. Kenyon comes down from Ohio. They come in 295 day first round, 284, 293. Really solid performance for Kenyon. I'm very impressed with that performance. Right behind them, two shots back, was Wittenberg at 10th. Again, another Ohio team. And so I look at that and go, the Ohio teams are coming down in early March, ready to go. Let's watch and keep tabs on them as they keep going, because we can see those scores improve. And by the time we get to nationals, they may be ready to go. So that's interesting. Going down the rest of the list, Piedmont 11th, the host Berry College tied for 12th with Hampton Sydney. I was a little disappointed in Hampton Sydney's performance. They actually improved their ranking by two in the last day to tie for 12th. Guilford 14th, Christopher Newport 15th, Averett 16th, LaGrange 17th, Rensselaer Polytechnic 18th, and Greensboro 19th. Greensboro, LaGrange, Averett did not help their cause a whole lot here on getting into nationals. They're going to have to win conference. You can't be this far down the list here and expect to be getting an at-large bid. All right, let's talk about individuals, because there was great golf being played. Winner of the tournament is from Huntington College, Zachary Coker. He goes 11 under for the tournament. He wins by one over three other players. He goes 68, 66, 71. He finishes first, three tied for second. Jackson Klutznik from Emory, 10 under, goes 70, 68, 68. Aiden Spaminato from Methodist, 10 under, 68, 70, 68. And Jonathan McEwen from Washington Lee, 10 under, 68, 69, 69. solo fifth, J.F. Aber from Wittenberg, 9 under, 72, 66, 69. David DiAgostino from Methodist, 8 under, solo sixth, 69, 71, 68. Solo seventh was David Jang from Carnegie Mellon at 7 under. Walter McPhail from Washington Lee, 6 under, solo eighth. Two tied for ninth, Jonathan Oakes from Kenyon at 5 under, and Adam Rogers from Piedmont at 5 under. Solo 11th was Brian Hansen from Emory, 4 under. Solo 12th was Chase Waltz from Methodist, 3 under. And then we had a bunch of people tied at 13. Nick Rubino from Hampton Sydney College, 2 under. Michael O'Sullivan, 2 under from Oglethorpe. Michael Burry from Emory. Logan Johnson from Suwannee. And Tony Lee from Emory. But really great playing. I mean, to think, you know, even par gets you tied for 22nd at the tournament. I mean, we're throwing out 66s and 68s all the time now. So the health of Division III golf is extremely, extremely good. And it's one of those things where, it's a bit of a game I'm unfamiliar with, but I'm very excited to be able to go to Jekyll here in 2 weeks and actually get to watch them play live and in person. But, you know, I think when you're watching the scores here, you're seeing lots of the same names and some of the leadership that's coming through. But, you know, in order to win, you gotta break double digits under par. That's golfing your ball. So, again, it was awesome to watch. I was following along live. It was very exciting because you just saw the ups and downs and backs and forths, and that's that fivesomes and playing in that format that just creates just a little bit more havoc than, you know, playing in threesomes or foursomes with kids from other schools. But kudos to the gang at Barry. They put on a great event. We hear nothing but great things about that one. So very excited that we got to watch that one on Golfstat for live scoring because we still can't watch anything on Clipped. So that was this past week. Now we got to look forward to the big tournaments this coming week. And there are some really, really big ones. Okay, one is Savannah Invitational hosted by Barry for the women. And this is just as much of a major as any other tournament you got out there. Barry, obviously, there, Center, Huntington, Oglethorpe, Rhodes, Transy, Birmingham Southern, Christopher Newport, Lynchburg, Piedmont, Suwannee, Washington and Lee, Carnegie Mellon, Denison, Methodist, Randolph, Macon, St. John's, Fisher, Wash St. Louis. So this is going to be really interesting as we watch for the women and certain things that I'm watching for. One, Washington and Lee, there's no Emory here. There's no George Fox here. There's no Pomona here. Okay, Washington and Lee, can you go out and get Carnegie? Right? Like, okay, Wash U, what are you coming in to do? How are you going to look? What do you guys have ready to go? Carnegie, are you ready to go? Are you ready to play? Methodist, will the real Methodist women please stand up? Denison coming down from Ohio. So lots of good kind of intrigue at this tournament that'll be on March 11th and the 12th, so starting Monday, Tuesday. It'll be similar format. It'll be very, very cool. But again, like, okay, this is going to be a separator here for some of the ladies. I think my pick on this one is I'm going to take Washington and Lee. I think Coach Jane's got them ready to go. I think Carnegie will, if the men's performance there says anything, it says give them a couple weeks to get out of Pittsburgh and get down south and start playing a little bit more. I'm going to keep my eye on Methodist. I think those ladies could have really put in some work over the winter break, and I'm going to be watching them very closely as we get into the Savannah Invitational for the ladies. All right, we have another big women's tournament that is going to happen Sunday and Monday, and it's a doozy, and it's out west in Peoria, Arizona at the Westbrook Village Golf Club, the Westbrook Invite at the Lakes. Okay, here we go. For the ladies, great, great golf course. But we've got some heavy hitters here. So check this out. Here's who's all at this tournament. Claremont Mud Scripps, George Fox, Trinity University from Texas, University of the Redlands, Emory, Illinois Wesleyan, UC Santa Cruz, Whitworth, Bethel, Minnesota, Wisconsin La Crosse. Okay, so we know Bethel can play a little, but Illinois Wesleyan, Emory, Redlands, George Fox, Trinity, and Claremont all are on the schedule for nationals. So we're going to be watching, and I'm willing to bet that they're going to be within, 5 to 10 shots of all each other after the first day. It's just they're all really good quality teams. It's going to be happening, but the problem is, this is where Emory is Illinois Wesleyan, Trinity. So here you go. This will be a very nice one for some seeding for nationals, and to kind of say, okay, George Fox, here you go. You got another chance to kind of show yourself. California schools, big tournament for the California schools. Can they come out and get Emory? Where does Illinois Wesleyan fall into the stack of women's golf? You know, I think that's going to be really important as we kind of look forward, you know, to some of the other stuff. Individuals, I'm looking forward to out there. You know, obviously we've got Mackenzie Toole, former national champion. We got all the Emory ladies, Sharon Munn, Cindy Wang, Ellen Dong, all of them. You know, we have Sanchez de la Fuente from Trinity. We've got a lot of really good players that there's going to be some individuals mixed in. So, you know, that could be an interesting play as we kind of look forward to that. But, you know, I'm going to take George Fox. I think they're still really good. Wouldn't surprise me if Claremont gets them. And I think Trinity's playing really well because I watched them play in Houston. They've got a nice squad. So I look for those teams to kind of be probably leading out front for the ladies. Okay. All right. The big men's tournament. And this is the one that I got frustrated with. And one of the reasons why the podcast is a little late, because I couldn't see the participants in Clipped, Spike Mark, whatever it is. So I had to wait until they were in Golfstat, but here you go. This is who's at the Tiger Invite at Forest Creek. First of all, Forest Creek Golf Club, unbelievable, in Pinehurst, North Carolina. But here's who's at the tournament: Wittenberg, Babson, Rhodes, Averett, Washington Lee, Kenyon, Huntington, Carnegie Mellon, Lynchburg, Bridgewater, Greensboro, Denison, Hampton City, Methodist, Guilford, York, Rochester, and Sewanee. So what are we looking for? All right, well, can Sewanee back up what they did last week in Savannah? Right, finish fourth, good. Methodist, are they still there? No Emory, no Oglethorpe, fine. But watching those two to kind of go, are they still in form? We've got a lot of northern schools in town. Babson, our guys at Babson, here, this is their big chance. They need to have a good performance in this one to make sure that they can put themselves into the the top echelon of the stack rank for nationals. You've got the Ohio schools, Wittenberg and Kenyon, who just did great in Savannah. They're still on spring break. They're down here. Can they keep performing? Carnegie, all right, you've had a week of warm weather under you. Can we keep going? Huntington, we just saw you finally perform. All right, what do we have? Where are we going? Lynchburg, can we bounce back from, you know, a lackluster performance in Savannah? So a lot of opportunities to have a really good chance to go, all right, who is going to play well? Washington Lee, can they back up their great performance in Savannah? So I think that's going to be really interesting. I'll obviously take Methodist for the win, but I'm going to be watching. I think the really interesting thing is, one, Washington Lee, can they back it up? Watching Babson, knowing that, the Ohio schools, and then the other one's going to be sort of the other North Carolina schools. Right, it's Greensboro, it's Lynchburg, Virginia, North Carolina schools, right? Guilford, somebody, Hampton, Sydney, somebody else in that group's got to kind of start to edge their way up the list. So we'll keep tabs on that. But very exciting week in Division III. Cannot wait to get even more in depth with it. Going to be really focused on that tournament here. We'll put a podcast out midweek again. So that way we can kind of get geared up for Jekyll Island the following week. We will be live at the Jekyll Island tournament. We're going to be set up wherever we can be. We're going to have things for you to come by. We'll have some swag for you. We're going to be there ready to go. So come find us. We want to talk to you. We want to put you on camera. We'll record a lot of different stuff. We're going to be trying to go around through the tournament. So it's going to be very exciting. The goal right now is to spend at least 2 days with each tournament. So there's a women's tournament and a men's tournament. We should be down there for the practice rounds. We're going to spend one practice round with the men, one practice round with the ladies, and then one tournament day with the men and one tournament day with the ladies. We might not be able to be there the entire time. We're going to do what we can. So logistically, because the normally this is all in one location and it creates a little bit of havoc on the driving range, but it's really great for everybody else. With the construction that's going on at Jekyll, we'll be splitting between the two islands. So we'll have to do that. We'll be finding a place to do the live show every night. So if you're looking forward to that, we're going to be, it'll be up on our YouTube channel, and then we'll also record that as a podcast and put that out on a nightly basis as well. So it's a very exciting time. We're getting geared up. I've got microphones and everything else. You're not going to believe what you see from Division III golf guys. We're really excited about the opportunity to come live and kind of get our game ready for nationals, just like all the players and coaches are. So with that, we'll say, hit them straight. Cheers.